16, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 12 of chapter 17. And the children of Israel spoke unto Moses, saying, Behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying?
You know, this is an interesting statement that the Israelites are making here. And so when they come to Moses, they have a fear of dying. Why? Why do you have a fear of dying going to the tabernacle of the Lord? It would have to be because your heart's not right with the Lord. You understand? And the things, the events that's occurred prior to this time, the people's hearts weren't right with God. It's not that God is being entertained with killing people. It's that people have violated Him and they've usurped His authority. That's the reason that these people have died. So when they come to Moses, it's not like they've had a heart change. They're just afraid God's going to kill them. I'm telling you that if you are doing the will of God, that's the least of your concerns. Why would you think that God is going to kill you? Why would you not want to be in the presence of God? But I've seen people, I've been in services where when the presence of God just really was manifested, people got so scared they left. Why would you leave the presence of God? It's a heart problem. Your heart's not right with God. If your heart's right with God, you want to be in the presence of God. You want to go where God is. It's amazing to me how many Christians don't want to go where God is. They'd rather go where God isn't. Isn't that amazing? So, we have a heart issue here. Why should we die? Well, why are you thinking about dying? Do what God told you to do. It's that simple. Do what God told you to do.
We have an invitation that's set before us. Everybody does. Choose life, choose death. Everybody has that option. We choose whether or not we submit to the rule and reign of God in our hearts. I really do appreciate you saying that. Everything with the Lord comes down to a matter of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Is our heart right before Him? In chapter 18, this chapter reiterates the importance of the priest, the role of the priest, the role of the Levites, offerings brought to the priest, the protocol for eating the offerings, tithe for the Levites, and the tithe of the Levites. Let's look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood.
So, here, this statement is following what has occurred. You know, they're going against the priesthood. Now God is showing there's protocol for the priesthood. You understand? The priest can't just do their thing. But the Lord said that Aaron and his sons and the Kohathites would be held accountable for any violations regarding the sacred things. This is why it is such an awesome thing to step out of your anointing, to try to step into a place that God didn't anoint you to do, especially when it comes to the sacred things. And He told Aaron and his sons, He said, you will be accountable for your sins regarding the priesthood. Well, that priest had a predetermined way they were to approach God with sacrifices and offerings. You didn't just throw meat on an altar. There's a way to do it. There's a specified way it was to be done. You follow me? And so now God is focusing on the stipulations He's giving the priests and the Levites, and especially specifically here are the Kohathites in this verse. You've got to do it my way. The other tribes have to do it God's way. You've got to do it my way. You understand? And a lot of people think, and I think preachers may even think, that they're exempt from things. No, we're not exempt from anything. You expect people to obey God, you have to obey God. You expect people to do things God's way, you have to do things God's way.
Yes, we were talking earlier today how we're priests too. We were reading in 2 Peter, right? Or 1 Peter, 2 chapter. And so we're accountable also. How do we worship the Lord? In spirit and in truth. We're going to be accountable for our actions as well. Everyone will give an account. And so what we can learn from this is let's be mindful how we approach the Lord. Let's be mindful with the assignments that He's given us.
He said we're a chosen generation.
Royal priesthood.
A holy priesthood.
Holy priesthood.
A peculiar nation. Just as Israel was set apart for God, the body of Christ is set apart for God. They were a natural nation. The body of Christ is a spiritual nation. Now, what God wanted out of Israel, He wanted all of Israel representing Him. But when He spoke from the mount, they got so scared they didn't want to hear Him anymore. And that's what goes on today. It's amazing how people want preachers to tell them what God said. They don't want to go before God and hear what God's saying. They don't want to read the Bible for themselves. They want somebody else to tell them what the Bible says. So people are making millions of dollars on books that are, they're saying the Bible says such and such. Well, why don't we just pick up the Bible? Why don't we read the Bible? Why don't we let the Spirit of God reveal to us the Word of God? You with me?
Verse 2. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness.
So the Levites were to assist Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons performed the sacred duties, but the Levites were to assist them in doing this in the tabernacle. You know, we were talking today about this, and I say, you know, what people don't understand is what my role is. I'm standing here, Heather's standing here, we're teaching a small number of people. But through technology, the people who know how to operate the technology are reaching far more people than we are. And that in itself becomes a ministry, just as much and just as legitimate as this is a ministry. They're assisting us doing what we don't have the ability to do. You follow me? But it takes all of us working together to get the job done. The priests needed the Levites. But the Levites needed the priest. You with me? They assisted them. Then we get the job done. But you can't do the job by yourself. It takes people working together to get the job done. No big eyes, little U's. It's just this one does this, this one does this, this one does that. God gave them the ability to do it. Amen.
Amen. And they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you.
Note this. The Levites were to perform the duties assigned to them. They didn't pick and choose. You follow me? And so the priests are assigning the duties for the Levites regarding the tabernacle and the priestly service. However, they were not allowed to come near the holy articles of the sanctuary of the altar. You can't come near them. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. You cannot approach God. That's reserved for the priesthood. Okay? And so, violation of that could cost them their lives. Not only would it cost the Levite, but it could also cost the priest his life for allowing this to go on. See, there is an accountability and a responsibility that goes with oversight. And people don't always understand that. That it's not just everybody does their thing. The oversight has a responsibility of allowing God in and keeping the devil out. You understand? And I've actually been rebuked for dealing with a situation in the church to where someone was disrupting the service. And after, you know, the Lord spoke to me and told me what to do. And I did exactly what God told me to do. And after the service, I got rebuked for it. For doing what God said to do. Now, it was like water off a duck's back, but I still got rebuked, you understand? People are insensitive to the Spirit of God. They don't understand the accountability that goes with that. And so these priests were accountable for the activity that's going on. The priests are accountable for what the Levites are doing. It's not you just do your thing. We're doing God's thing. We're doing things God's way. You with me? And so, no one outside of the tribe of Levi was to come near the tabernacle of service. Remember Dathan and Abiram? They were from the tribe of Reuben. They did not have the right or privilege to come near, and it cost them their lives. And it's amazing how many people want to run a church. Everybody thinks they're qualified to run a church. Know who God said and set, that's who is to take the oversight. And he's to obey God, not people. Because when you're going to stand before the judge of all the earth, not before the people. You understand? And so when the day of reckoning comes, we better be certain we did it God's way, not their way, not my way. But God's way.
That's serious. Verse 5, and ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel.
Now note this. The priests were responsible for the care of the sacred things of the tabernacle and altar, and the regulation was instituted by God Himself for the purpose of preventing God's wrath from being executed on the Israelites. God didn't want to pour out His wrath, but God's not going to violate His orders. When God says something, God means that. And so when He gives a protocol, He expects that protocol to be followed. When He tells us to be led by the Spirit, He's not saying, if you want to. It's a mandate, not an option. Now, you can choose not to fulfill the mandate, but that does not negate the mandate. The responsibility is still there. Okay?
Verse 6. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel to you. They are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
So the Lord told Aaron that He had taken these Levites from the Israelites and gave them to the priest as a gift to perform services in the tabernacle of the congregation. So the rest of the tribe of Levi is actually a gift to the priesthood. Now, the gift doesn't run it. The gift assists it. Right? Okay.
Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
So only Aaron and his sons were allowed to serve as priests. Only Aaron and his sons. Now, they are the family of the Kohathites. But out of the Kohathites, God chose Aaron to be the high priest and his sons the priest. No one else in the family of the Kohathites could serve as priest. You follow me? And they couldn't minister around the altar. Only the priest could minister around the altar and the sacred things. Now, the privilege of being entrusted with the sacred items for serving the Lord, that's a gift given exclusively to the priest. Now note this. Anyone who approached these sacred items was to be put to death. You think God's serious about that?
Mm-hmm.
Under the old covenant, only the ones I selected are to minister before me. You with me?
Right.
Now, under the new covenant, we are, as the body of Christ, selected to minister for the Lord, but it's to be done in the capacity that God has gifted us and called us to. Okay?
Verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings, of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee.
Now, note this. The Lord told Moses because that he and his sons were anointed as God's priest, he is responsible. They're responsible for the offering presented to the Lord by the Israelites. So they are to say what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. You understand? And this was a perpetual ordinance. That means every generation. And the food from these offerings was to be eaten in a sacred place. This is part of the worship, if you will. Okay? This is part of ministering to the Lord. And every male in the priestly family was permitted to eat the food. Okay? But it had to be God's way, God's place. You understand?
That's good. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it.
So the tribute offerings and all the wave offerings of the Israelites were given to Aaron, his sons, and daughters. This law was a perpetual ordinance. This goes to the priest, okay? Everyone in their house who was clean was permitted to eat the food from these offerings. Here again, that was their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting when you look at it, the way God had it all set up.
You know, that's, we mentioned this first session, but I think it's so important just to keep in mind before us that when people brought their offerings, they were bringing them to the Lord. If people had the mindset of, well, I'm just bringing this offering so I can feed this family, they're missing it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with our tithes and our offerings today. We give from the heart, we give to the Lord. It's not about giving to a church. It's not about giving to a charity. It's about giving to the Lord and understanding that He's going to take care of things. It's pretty remarkable how He had this set up.
That's the difference between doing good and doing right. See, a lot of people do good for people. They see a person's need and they minister to the need. But when you look in Matthew, when Jesus gives the parable, as often as you've done it to these, the least of these, you've done it to me. Are you ministering to the Lord, or are you just doing something to be doing a good work? You understand? And Israel had got to the place to where they would bring their offerings, but they weren't, their mind's not on God. They're going through the motions of bringing their offerings, but their heart's not toward God. And we're hearing this more and more, and God's emphasizing it more and more about the heart. God's looking at the heart. The heart's got to be right before God for this to be acceptable. You want to bring an acceptable offering to God, bring it to God, not to people. You with me? The people will benefit by it. But understand, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. We're ministering. If you're feeding somebody, you're feeding the Lord. He said, you did it to me. You clothe them. You've got to see that as ministering to the Lord. And we miss it.
You know, this heart that we have now, as a born-again believer, this regenerated heart, this newborn heart is going to be the same heart that's going to be in the presence with Him eternally. You think about the awesomeness of that. And so everything is a matter of the heart right here and now. It's a matter of the heart. We need to get it right now.
What God say, rend your heart, not your garments. Get your heart humble before me. You can go through all the outward motions. I'm looking at the heart, what He said. I want the heart right. Do what you do because your heart's right toward me. And if your heart's right toward God, you're going to be doing what God wants you to do. And you'll do it His way.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Verse 12. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is the first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. everything devoted in Israel shall be thine.
You know, at one time, this bothered me a little bit. Why is it that the priests are getting the best of everything? You with me? It's God that's getting the best. You bring God the best of the oil. You bring God the best of the wine. You bring God the best of the grain. Your first fruit. All these things are brought to God, but given to the priest. That's the way you give it to God. You can't throw that up in heaven and God catch it. Here again, these are natural things, but the only way you're going to worship God is in spirit and in truth. And so they come because their heart is to the Lord, and they present this to the priest as unto the Lord. In their heart, they're given to the Lord. You with me? And that's the way it should be with us. In our heart, we should be given to the Lord. Anything, all these devoted offerings of the Israelites were given to the priest, but these things give to the Lord. Give your best. See, that's really the separating line between Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Cain brought an offering. Abel brought his best. You understand? Abel's heart was to God. As a matter of fact, when God confronted Cain, Cain got upset with God. That in itself tells you his heart was not right with God. And a lot of people do things, they may bring an offering to God, but their heart's not right. You understand? No, God wants our heart to be right before. It's not what you give, it's the attitude in which you give it.
Yeah.
Remember the woman with the widow's mite? What did Jesus say? She gave more than all these. You understand? She's given out of the depth of her heart. They're tipping their hat, so to speak. She's given her best. And what does God want? God wants you best. God doesn't want you leftovers. He wants you best. That's why He says to seek Him first. And then He'll meet your needs. But you seek Him first. You put Him first.
I was just thinking about the fact that He hasn't asked us to do anything He Himself hasn't already done.
Oh, no.
He has given us His very best. He gave us His only begotten Son. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 15. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beast shalt thou redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs.
So the firstborn of every womb, whether human or animal, belong to the Lord. That's the Lord's. And the Lord's given them to the priest. But it's the Lord's property, if you will. Okay? And the firstborn of children, the firstborn of unclean animals had to be redeemed. God is not asking for a blood sacrifice of children. And God does not want a blood sacrifice of unclean animals. And so He never accepted these as sacrifices, so they had to be redeemed with money. So you redeem the firstborn child, the firstborn animal. If it's unclean, you redeem that with money, and then that money is given to the priest. It's redemption money given to the priest. And once they're a month old, then it's mandatory to redeem, not optional. And so He gives the redemption price for the children. You understand? God's the one that set the price. you know, 5 shekels, approximately 2 ounces of silver. 20 juras equal a shekel, the price of redemption for unclean animals. And this was determined by the priest. The priest looks at the animal. What's the market value of this animal? That's the redemption price. You understand? And whatever the priest set, that's what it was. Why? He's representing God. So he had better represent God properly. You with me? Because he will give an account.
Verse 17, but the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord.
So cattle, sheep, goat, the firstborn, you could not redeem them. They're the Lord's to be sacrificed. They're to be offered to the Lord as a burnt offering to the Lord. The fat was to be burned on this altar as a pleasant fragrance to the Lord. You can't redeem that. It's the Lord's. What belongs to the Lord? You didn't redeem. That's a blood sacrifice. What is it? The innocent dying for the guilty. All these things are pointing to God's firstborn. Okay?
That's good. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast and as the right shoulder are thine.
I just had this thought. Isn't it interesting that God's firstborn couldn't be redeemed? He had to be sacrificed. Think about it.
Okay.
So the meat of the firstborn sacrifices were given to the priest just as the wave breast and the right thigh were given to the priest.
All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee.
So the priests were given the sacrificial gifts offered to God, and these gifts are actually food for them, their sons and their daughters. And here again is a perpetual ordinance, a law for the Israelites. And he says it's a covenant of salt. A covenant of salt is a perpetual covenant. It's always before the Lord. And you could never offer a sacrifice on a burnt offering without offering salt. Salt was in everything. God was not on a low-sodium diet. He said, don't you offer a sacrifice to him without salt. Interesting, then.
So you think about if people were going to make a covenant of salt today. I want you to get a visual of this. If two people, if Kenzie were to bring me salt and I were to bring salt, we take our salt and we pour it into a container, one container. We would be in covenant with one another as long as if she couldn't separate her salt from my salt, we're in covenant. Does that make sense to you? So that's why a salt covenant is it's perpetual. You think about the beauty of that. Could you imagine Kenzie trying to tease out her salt from my salt? We're joined in union then, right? That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
You know, although a covenant of salt is not thoroughly explained in the Scriptures, I believe that we can learn from precept and an analogy the fundamental truth of a covenant of salt. Salt does basically two things. It flavors, it preserves. It appears to me that a covenant of salt, first off, is pleasant to the Lord and is perpetual. And the offerings made to the Lord had to be offered with salt. Interesting, isn't it? Perpetual. And we don't understand covenant today. What we understand is contract. If I don't like what you do, I'll break it. If you don't like what I do, you break it. And so today in the Western world, they're not doing things off of covenant. They're doing things off of contracts. And so we've lost the impact of what a covenant actually is. It's life for life. I cut a covenant with you. I'm giving you my life. God has cut a covenant with us. And He's given us His life. And if we're entering into that covenant with Him, we're giving Him our life. So it's a life for life exchange. That means if you have what I need, then it's mine. If I have what you need, it's yours. In other words, we're in this thing together to where we meet one another's needs. That's exactly the relationship that God has with man. We need Him. He needs us. You understand? And so we work in a cooperative fellowship. It's a joint effort. We doing what God can't because He's given dominion to man. And God's doing in us what we can't, empowering us to do what He wants done through the dominion of man. Pretty incredible when you think about it. Our time's up. We're going to have to stop here. And we'll pick back up with this in the next session.
That's good.
Okay. Sound better or?
Did it?
Yeah, about 18 minutes it started ringing. Okay.
I was reaching deep.
Did it get
better? Off and on,
yeah.
Okay.
Who's mic?
I heard both ring.
I felt like I was yelling the whole time. I'm about worn out.
Like, we're good? All right, it's going to be right next time. Huh? Bless us indeed, gin large our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your counsel upon us. You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week. Stay warm.